Game day from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Let's convene our round table. He's Ryan Pinder. He's the voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinbergen. John Gillies gets the start in net for Calgary tonight in this preseason affair with the San Jose Sharks. He's going to go the whole way, so a full 60 minutes for John Gillies tonight. Gillies coming off a really rough year in the American League last year. Those numbers were not pretty. If you are wondering what they were, he went 16-23-1 with a 351 goals against and an 889 save percentage. 25 years old. Willsie, where does John Gillies fit in this organization today?
In John Gillies' defense, as far as the statistics from last season are concerned, he played behind a team that was really thin on the fence. Dalton Prout was a guy who we thought could spend more time there. He spent most of his season up here in Calgary. The Flames promoting Rasmus Anderson and Oliver Shillington, two really good young defensemen. So I think you do have to take those numbers for the goaltender with a grain of salt. You look at his career numbers in the NHL, not bad, 271, 903. But as far as ranking goaltending prospects, I've got him number three on my list right now. And I know that Artem Zagadulin's only played one rookie game and half of a preseason game, but you know, they brought this guy over from the KHL, had really good numbers in that league last season, hasn't given up a goal in North America yet in a game and a half, so I would probably put him either one or two. And Tyler Parsons is a guy who's won a Memorial Cup, won gold at the World Junior Championships, and I know he hasn't developed quite as quickly as some were hoping he would or thought that he would, and he's had some, you know, issues he's had to deal with off the ice as well as far as mental health is concerned. But I'd still put both Parsons and Zagadulin ahead of Gillies. And, you know, it's unfortunate you can't keep everybody forever because goaltenders do tend to develop once they get into their mid to late 20s, and Gillies might still do that. I just get the sense that he's maybe running out of time with this organization.
Yeah, well said. I think the whole where does he stand, I mean, that's why we're here, right? This is, we are how, what, one third, not even a third into training camp? This is exactly what the organization is trying to find out. Where does he stand versus a guy that was a backup and not used a ton behind a Russian great in the K? And where does he stand next to his platoon partner from last year who did not have a statistically sound season? You know, it's fun to ask the question, but I mean, that's really what the next 2.5 weeks are about, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me,
like, if he outplays Zagadulin and Parsons, does that not answer the question that we're asking today?
It does, although Zagadulin is younger and Parsons is younger.
Yeah.
And I wonder at this stage of the game if the Flames are more invested in those guys and their development than Gillies' development. And look, there's only so many minor league spots to go around. You've got your ECHL agreement. You've got the American League. Do you want to carry three goalies in the American League and potentially hamper Zagadulin's first year in North America or potentially a big year for Parsons? It's very interesting. So, yes, while I agree that this is still a story that is developing and could change in this preseason, I also believe that the Flames might be looking at this as, well, maybe these guys are a little bit more prioritized for us, and if that's the case, maybe a loan to another American League organization is something they look at doing right now.
I mean, long term, if I had to rank the three, again, I'd put Gillies at number three. And I would put probably Parsons first still. I just think he's got so much upside, and I don't know enough about Zagadulin. But here's the thing. Let's say David Rittich or Cam Talbot gets hurt between now and the start of the regular season. Who do you think their first call-up's going to be? I think it's going to be John Gillies.
If he plays well in the training camp, yeah. And if he's playing well in the American League, I agree. I think it's that year for him. He has to – I mean, when his agent structured the deal this way and – I mean, look, they're not going to renew this guy's deal if he can't establish himself as having some value to the NHL club. So if he gets, I think he will get that chance this year if they need help at that position. And I also agree with everything else you said. Like, the younger guys clearly are exactly that. They're younger. They still have time to develop and improve. Now, we talk about how long goalies can develop, quote unquote, but these guys have a lot more ceiling to chase. I think if you told me that one of Parsons or Zagadulin could be a starter in the NHL, I'm like, sure, that's possible. If someone told me Gillies, I'd be like, squint a little. I'm like, okay, well, he's got to get it going then right about now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like, they play only nine games in, not even nine, excuse me, eight games in October. Like, this is the issue with when you have an American League affiliate and you're cutting back schedule to play in a Pacific division. It's great for a lot of things. It's great for teaching. It's better for travel than it's been in some other stops where their affiliate was, in the sense that there's some neighborhood teams around there. They've got Bakersfield right there. San Jose's not far. But what it's not good for is getting enough work for three goalies. So I don't know how long you can keep three there. They start with a Friday, Saturday, and then a Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. But after that, they're back to a weekend. Like, it's, I would think you essentially have until October 20 to, if you're even going to go with three at all. But yep. Again, if he outplays guys, I feel like this is kind of where merit would matter.
If Parsons is healthy on and off the ice, I think he's got to get close to half, if not more than half, the starts down there this year. With Zagadou and getting the bulk. But, I mean, Gillies, I think he had his chance last season, guys. He had 45 games that he played in with the Stockton Heat. I think that was his opportunity to establish himself as this team's top goaltending prospect. And even though he was playing behind a team that wasn't great, I'm not sure he took advantage of that opportunity.
No, and it's not his first. He had significantly more opportunity than David Riddick did.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Years, 3 years ago.
When Riddick came into the NHL, or rather to North America, when Riddick came here, Gillies was ahead of him on the depth chart.
Played more, worse numbers. Like, it's this
Riddick
is not a lack of opportunity.
Riddick moving up, and now Riddick has significantly passed him by.
Not close. Yeah.
So I wonder if that happens with some of these other guys. It's very interesting to see, but we do know John Gillies gets the full weight tonight when Calgary takes on San Jose.
I will say this. What I've heard about John Gillies is that heading down to the AHL last year and not sticking with the club after the camp he had didn't do him any favors for his play. And there is a trend of better play at the second half of the season as compared to the first. And, you know, there's a team involved in that play in front of these guys that you alluded to was not tight defensively and that was using a whole lot of bodies they didn't even know about when the season started. Like, Rob Hamilton was their most important defenseman. He was a ECHL call-up in, what, November? We looked it up the other day. Like, that's how thin they were on the back end. But if he goes down again, it has to be a different mentality. It can't be like, woe is me, because that didn't work for him last year.
Yeah, and I hate the idea of a three-headed monster in net in Stockton. It just doesn't allow any of those goaltenders to get enough games with the Heat. And it makes it tough on Cale MacLean and the coaching staff, because then you've got three goaltenders for two nets at practice as well, and guys aren't getting the reps they need. You guys were talking about a potential loan to an AHL team earlier in the day. That's tricky as well. Remember, the Blues at one point explored loaning Jordan Binnington out
because they didn't know if he was going to get enough time
in practices and in games. And it's difficult to do, because if you're another NHL team, unless you're void of goaltending prospects, do you really want to spend your time developing somebody else's player?
There has to be a void. Otherwise, you're not interested. And Binnington was indeed loaned for the 2017-18 season to Providence, ironically, the Bruins organization he beat in the final. A year later.
That is ironic.
John Gillies starts tonight. He will go the full way. Flames and San Jose Sharks this evening. It's the Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek, Ryan, Pat here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Dylan Dubé gets a shot on a line with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau tonight. Guys, I firmly believe the Flames want Dubé on their opening night roster. I firmly believe they want Dubé in their opening night lineup. And I firmly believe they will do everything and are doing everything to allow him to earn that spot. I really think that what he did last year opened a ton of doors for him, and they're looking at this year as that next natural step. Can you turn 25 NHL games into 82 NHL games? And they're giving him every opportunity to do so. And so far, Derek, it's early, but he's done everything you would have asked him to do to take advantage of the opportunity they're giving.
Yeah, I thought he was by far the best player on the ice in that first rookie game against the Oilers. Now, you take that with a giant grain of salt, because you're playing against primarily players who won't even be playing pro hockey this year. You know, you got a handful of guys who will be in the AHL and the ECHL, and maybe one or two who will spend time, any amount of time, in the NHL. But you expect him to dominate in a setup like that, and he did. And I didn't get a chance to watch him play in the Flames' first preseason game on the road in Victoria a couple of nights ago. But, you know, Dylan Dubé is a guy who I thought got off to a really good start last season, both with what he did in the rookie games and then in preseason games. And even to start the regular season, I know the stats don't necessarily back up that statement, but I thought he was doing a lot of really good things with his speed. He was really aggressive and effective on the forecheck, turning pucks over, creating chances for himself and for his line mates. The pucks just weren't going in for him, and he wasn't really picking up a lot of points. And then he got hurt, tried to play through the injury, didn't want to lose his job, probably wasn't the best idea, although it's kind of hard to hold it against him. And then he ends up going down. And that, in the long run, will probably be the best thing that happened to Dylan Dubé. You know, as a couple of guys who spent time in the American Hockey League, Ryan, you and I have seen it so many times before, where a guy playing a limited role in the NHL goes down to the AHL, plays 20-plus minutes a night, plays even strength, power play, penalty kill, and just gets better. And the other thing that they really worked on with Dylan last season, over and above his play with the puck, his play without the puck, faceoffs. If he could be a decent faceoff man, it just makes him so much more versatile. He's told me he plays all three positions and feels equally comfortable playing left wing, center, and right wing. So here's a guy who I would be surprised if he wasn't on the Flames opening night roster. And I think that he has an opportunity to work his way up the lineup and maybe play some top 6 minutes this season.
They'll love the skill set, speed,
yeah,
and can think it. And I don't think Ever's going to be a high-end points guy, but absolutely like a Frolicky type that can also play the middle.
40 or 50 points.
Yeah, smart, and you can put him wherever you need in the lineup. Switch wings is something they're kicking the tires on. And you mentioned the short time in the American Hockey League. Like, how much did that help Yusuf Alamaki's game coming off the injury? I mean, we see it all the time. It's not necessarily the first time you come up. Sometimes you need to go back down and then come back up to stick as an NHLer. And I just don't see a way he's not on this team. And with Matthew Tkachuk out, I don't see a way where they aren't getting him some significant opportunities to play with some skill.
And I think he would have been on this team if Tkachuk were already signed and if he was in the fold right now. I still think Dubé would be given that opportunity, but even more so without Matthew Tkachuk right now. I just think that this is a player that, even right now, he's got an opportunity with Monahan and Gaudreau tonight. And Bill Peters said it this morning when he spoke to the media. He wants to try him on the right side to see what he's played middle and he's played on the left, but they haven't seen him a lot on the right. They want to see what that is, and I think that's an area where the Flames look at their roster and say, we're not as deep on the right side. So that's also something to keep an eye on. Maybe, you know, maybe they start the season with the right side being Lindholm, Frolik, and Dubé as their third right side guy. It's a big time opportunity for him tonight playing with these two guys.
Yeah, and he's got all the tools to be a really good player in this league for a really long time. He has fantastic pedigree, having captained Canada to World Junior Championship, and just a really likable and humble young man as well. And the fact that he's from Cochrane, well, born in Golden, B.C., raised right here in Cochrane, Alberta, I think makes him a fan favorite. And I think he's going to play a prominent role for this team this year. I really do. I think he's probably seen the last of the American Hockey League. But as we've seen with a bunch of Flames rookies, and he played 25 games, we were joking around about it the other day, saying, hey, maybe you'll be in contention for the Calder Trophy this year. He says, I can't. I played exactly 25 games, 25, which is the cutoff last season.
He ruined his Calder eligibility.
Yeah, but no, he's a kid who I think's got an extremely high ceiling, and it would not surprise me at all, especially if Matthew Tkachuk doesn't sign before the season starts, to see him get some reps on that second line with Michael Backlund and whoever, Sam Bennett or Michael Frolik.
Another tantalizing thing is Derek Ryan and him next to each other skating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain player I wouldn't want on the other side, because that's going to be...
Does he wear number 17?
That's going to be like a speed limit line, and like in terms of get three guys that can fly. Put them out there.
Toby Reeder.
Well, I mean, if you're adding another forward,
Mangiapane
can skate. Yeah. Mangiapane can fly. Yeah, I mean, there's... That would be quite the water bug line there that I think would wreak havoc. You think you're getting a break when the 3M line's not on, or look, the big unit's on the bench, and then, boom, here come these guys flying around at 80K.
Yep.
Like that's what I'd try to build as a third line.
Yeah, and Bill Peters has talked about wanting to play even faster this season than his team did last. And the one team that really jumped out at me last season as a team that played significantly faster than the Flames is, ironically, Peters' old team, the Hurricanes. Both times that I saw them in person, I was just blown away by how fast they played the game. And I think Peters wants to take another page out of that old Hurricanes playbook that he started to develop and continued to develop last season. And Dubé is a guy who plays the game with pace, so I think he's going to be a big part of that.
Final question on our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Derek, Ryan, Pat, of Mario Ferraro, Tony Sund, Sasha Shmulevsky, and Ivan Chekhovich. Who are you most excited to watch tonight on the San Jose Sharks?
Of those guys?
Nick DeSimone.
Shmulevsky or Chekhovich, or I don't even know how you say that. I'm going to have to ask their guy.
Shmulevsky was one of the guys that was the top prospect that didn't move to Ottawa when they added Carlson, and that sort of stood out because they'd also done the Hoffman deal. Like, it's
Tony Sund, that's who I'm...
Okay.
75 points in 56 games with the Ottawa 67s last season for Shmulevsky. And Chekhovich,
he finished this question
second in the queue
far too literally.
With 105 points, Pat.
We got to chat with our buddy Dylan.
Just want to prove I've done prep, really, that's all.
The point of this is that with Brendan Dillon, Dalton Prout, Thomas Hertl, Lucas Radil,
Evander Kane.
Evander Kane. Those are the NHLers that are on this roster for San Jose. Lots of guys trying to crack the roster.
Here's a question for you guys.
I was trying to make.
Does a guy who's trying to make an impression in Zach Rinaldo maybe try to get under the skin of Evander Kane tonight, since Sam Bennett's out there?
I would suggest that
I wouldn't mind
it
seeing
wouldn't
a,
be
Rinaldo,
a bad idea.
Rinaldo Prout going toe to toe would be a pretty good.
Yeah, I don't
belt.
Know how interested Evander Kane would be in that, but
Prout maybe.
Like that's his job, and if he's going to be in the NHL, that's how he has to play. So don't not do it tonight. Right? If you're Zach Rinaldo?
Yeah, like, you have to make an impression.
You're not making the team for goals. You're not making the team for your vision. You have to aggravate, agitate, and potentially even instigate to get to the point where you're helping this team and you can show your skills.
Motivate, well, investigate.
There's other ones I can say.
Propagate.
But you know what? I think that's exactly what he did the other night, guys. Played just under 12 minutes.
Ornicky.
So basically, oh boy. Right off the rails.
Go to break.
He played just under 12 minutes, which is basically a fourth line role. Led the team with 6 hits. So he's been smart enough to carve out an NHL career with limited skill. Zach Rinaldo, really good skater, but not going to score a bunch of goals for you, put up a bunch of points for you. But he is what he is. He knows what he is, and he knows what he has to do to make this team, and that's give the Flames something they don't have or don't have a lot of. So he's another guy I'll be watching tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Wills. Have a good call tonight.
I think we can start the roundtable around 4-ish tomorrow. Or?
Ask Bo.
Okay. Yeah, Bo. We're working on Bo's clock.
Talk to the hot tub club.
Right. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Derek.